Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Miren Trader, who is the author of the new book, Dream, The Life and Legacy of Hakeem Olajuwon. I can't wait about this. I got the book, got a copy. Thank you, Miren, for that. Excited to read about the greatest Rocket of all time, Houston Cougar. Go Cougs. I'm curious, Miren, you can get this book. It was released yesterday wherever you find your books. I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. What was the inspiration for writing a book on Hakeem the Dream?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on. I just felt like he's the most criminally underrated NBA player of all time, and not just because he's this ultimate, you know, competitor, and the things that he did just were innovative, and he broke records, and he won championships. I just think his personal story, his devotion to Islam, what a good teammate he was, like, this is something that I feel is something we can all look up to, and I found it really inspiring.
Miren, I'm curious because you had a New York Times bestseller with a book on Giannis, but with Dream, as you get into these projects, I think you have a good idea of some of the things you just mentioned of who you're dealing with. But what was the most interesting or kind of thing you didn't know that came out of this book that you were like, wow, that's really interesting?
Well, I think the one thing that fans think they know is the origin of him coming to the University of Houston. And every year there's an article written, St. John's almost had Olajuwon. Because as the fairy tale goes, you know, he gets to the JFK airport in New York, he's cold, and then fate changes history and he goes to the University of Houston. Guy Lewis, the coach, is shocked, and it ends up, you know, being one of the greatest teams ever assembled. But the truth is that St. John's never recruited him. There was never a visit. There were also other stops that Olajuwon was supposed to visit on that tour, Providence, Georgia, among others. And I talked to those coaches as well. They never had any contact with the recruiter that recruited Olajuwon or Olajuwon. So it is very much a myth, and I think that was shocking for me because that is the one story that has gotten repeated over and over for decades. But through my reporting, I think the plan was to come to Houston all along.
Wow. Yeah, that is quite the fairy tale and the myth that happened with the Dream. Miren Trader joining us on the HRP guest line. How much did you know about Hakeem before authoring the book, and what did you find that to be the most fascinating to learn?
Yeah, I knew the broad strokes of his career just in terms of what an amazing player he was, the championship. I knew that obviously Islam was a huge part of his life, but I didn't know what caused him to abandon the faith for over a decade, and I didn't know why he felt the need to return to it. I think people use the word converted when they talk about him in Islam, that, oh, he converted, but he never converted. And through my reporting, I have so much respect and admiration for the way that he really had a community of people that helped him, whether it was this man named Henry Ebrando, who was like a father figure to him, the people at the mosque, the people within the Rockets. I really just got such an appreciation for a community of people that allowed him to feel comfortable, to be really introspective and turn around what he called the dark years of his life and reclaim his faith. So I think a lot of people know about the faith, but they don't really know how and why that happened.
Miren, I'm curious. I think it's good to get the word out, but I'm curious your thoughts, too, on the fact that what a lot of fans know is they knew his faith. They didn't know how dedicated he truly was to his faith and how strict he was in all the aspects of what went into, say, Ramadan and you know, going through what we witnessed with him fasting and not refusing to, like, not even take any kind of Gatorade gum or quench gum or water until the sun went down and still go out and play NBA basketball.
Oh my God, it's iconic. Like, when I think about, if I miss one meal, like, I am so hangry, I can't even function. Like, when I think about what he did, like, it wasn't just, you know, any old game. It was playoff games against the best of the best, and he destroyed them without anything in his stomach and no water. And, you know, talking with the team physician at the time and the equipment manager and others that were, like, intimately involved in this, they were like, yeah, we were worried that he was going to be dehydrated because during the course of the game, you sweat so much. And they would feel concerned and try to offer him, you know, like you said, the quench gum. And he was like, no, I can't, you know, for a second, not follow this. And I think some people talk about religion, but the way he is, it is so true and authentic. And it didn't matter if it was behind closed doors or in front of a huge audience. He wasn't going to break his fast.
New York Times bestseller Miron Fader joining us on the HRNP guest line, author of Dream, The Life and Legacy of Hakeem Olajuwon, on sale now. Came out yesterday. You can find it wherever you get your books. How did you, in your reporting, how did you feel about the subjects you were interviewing and how they felt about Hakeem Olajuwon? How well received was Hakeem to the people you talked to?
Oh, my God. You guys, I interviewed 266 people. Not one person had something negative to say about him. It is truly the word that I think of when I think of Olajuwon is beloved and respected. From the people I talked to that were his fiercest opponents, from Robert Parrish, you know, Michael Cooper, even the elder generation, Jerry West, the reverence with which they talk about Dream is so moving and so astounding. And I think it's very rare to have a person who is that talented and that good be so well-liked and yet so humble and walk around like he's not even the greatest, you know, player to ever play in Houston like he is. And I think that was honestly the best part, is asking everyone, like, what's your favorite Dream Shake story? But also, what's your favorite story of his kindness? Dream has made an impact on pretty much every person he comes across, whether that's for 5 minutes or for years. And I think it was really cool just asking people about, you know, moments of kindness and things that he did for people.
Yeah, Maren, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that, you know, he's so well loved by so many people, because the one word I always think with Dream is class, and you really kind of highlight that in the book, because even when he was at his most, you know, pissed off moments, or he should have been, he still handled it with class. And I go back to the whole David Robinson getting the MVP trophy that you mentioned and you highlight in the book and talk to so many people about, and the fact that he was going to use that as motivation, but even then he did it in such a way in that he wasn't offensive or angry in the way he went about it.
That's such a great point. And, like, he could not have been more congratulatory as well to Robinson, a player who he, like, greatly respected. And even as his teammates were goading him on, you know, Dream, he got the trophy. What you gonna do? You know, he was like, oh, that's okay. You know, and I just, there was a quote that I came across in the research for this book that I really think epitomizes that moment and the class that you're talking about. After he won the 95 championship, all these reporters were like, are you the best in the game? Tell us who's the best. Is it you? And he said, I like myself. I like my moves. I like my game. I really love this game. And I just, it's such a profound quote, and it's such an example of quiet confidence. You don't need to boast. You just do the work. You're legendary, but the work speaks for itself.
Miron Fader, author of Dream, The Life and Legacy of Hakeem Olajuwon. I'm excited to dive in. Cannot wait. Why do you think people would enjoy this, and what's the best way for them to get the book?
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to understand everything in today's NBA about positionless basketball and the influx of international superstars, particularly African superstars, Hakeem is the pioneer that started it all. And you will learn about the world before there were international players on rosters. And you'll see how this book really shows that Hakeem was that one that inspired all of that incredible change to come. And people can get it anywhere you buy books. Please support Brazos Bookstore in Houston. I'm doing signed copies. You can find that online on my Twitter at Miron Fader and Instagram.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for coming on. Excited. Again, very excited to read this, Miron.
Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Miron Fader, New York Times bestseller and the author of the new book about Hakeem Olajuwon, Dream, The Life and Legacy of Hakeem Olajuwon. A couple of texters saying the Dream is the greatest center of all time, agility and mobility unparalleled. Jordan has him in his starting five. That speaks volumes. Hakeem keeping his cool. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of that. Olajuwon's awesome. Go Cougs. He's very, very good.
The San Antonio story, the greatest part of that was, and Clyde backed it up, but when the guys were giving him all such a hard time in the locker room about Robinson getting the trophy, and just as cool as calm as he could be, he goes, that is okay.
I have a bigger trophy we will get at the end.
Wasn't it Mario? I always heard that it was Mario egging him on the most in that moment.
Oh, it was.
It was Mario?
One of them. Because, you know, Mario had that chip on his shoulder, and that was the Junkyard Dog. And he was like, Dream, you're not going to let him punk you like that. Blah, 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 blah. And Dream was just calm and cool, going, we will get the bigger trophy.
Love me, Olajuwon. All right, speaking of the Rockets, what is your ideal starting lineup for this year's version of the Rockets and eight-man rotation for the Rockets this season? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the place you ought to be if you want to put money down on sports. It's the place I always tell you to go to because of the fact that they have been in business for over a decade. They are going to keep your money safe. You can pay in a variety of different ways to put money into your account, including crypto. And the biggest thing is they're always going to try and take care of you every step of the way. Right now, if you sign up for an account for the very first time and put money in, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. That means you put money in, they put money on top of it, more money in your account, more games you can bet, you can use to bet on games, and more chances you can win. That's fantastic. The other things that they do is they've got a tiered rewards program now called MyBookie Plus. So when you get enrolled in the program, you sign up for the first time, and you use our promo code BET975, which gets you that double your first deposit and gets you into the program. Then you'll can see by the more you play on MyBookie, the more chances you move up in the tiers. The higher the tiers, the better rewards, and the more they take care of you. They also take care of you by providing you with live dealers that stand by to do any kind of Vegas-style poker and blackjack games. Even when there's not games going on, there's a chance for you to get your gamble on because of the fact that the live dealers will be there and ready to help you. They are fantastic, and they are here to serve you. All you got to do is sign up today. Go to mybookie.ag, use our promo code BET975, and get ready to cash in. They have been in business long enough to know that you are very important to them, and they're going to take care of you the best they can. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. Go to mybookie.ag and use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Sean with Greenlight Offer, and I buy houses cash. Call me today at 832-779-4000. I'll buy your house for cash and pay you cash up front. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Houston area. Do you own a house that needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, because I love buying fixer-upper houses. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. I'll buy your house with the tenant in it. Do you think your property would be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation for houses in any condition. Do you want the best price for your house? Done. I'll beat any offer you have on the table. Remember, if you need cash fast, I'll pay you cash up front. Give me a call today. Sean at Greenlight Offer, buying houses. Call me at 832-779-4000. That's 832-779-4000. Call for Sean with Greenlight Offer, and I'll get your Greenlight number on your house today.
Take your Saturdays back with Hoag Landscape Services. Hoag can elevate your outdoor space by bringing the action to you. That unused section of the backyard can be transformed into a basketball, bocce ball, pickleball, putting green, whatever the game. Hoag Landscape Services will help you play it. They can also build you a pool. Those are fun. The kids love them. Call Hoag Landscape Services at 713-360-6924 or visit them at HoagLS.com. HoagLS.com.
Hey, football fans, Michael Vick here. I had an advantage. My legs were a weapon. 6,109 rushing yards, still unbeaten record. That's why I bet at BetUS.com. They offer American sports bettors an advantage. The industry's biggest bonus, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. And get expert picks and predictions on their very own BetUS TV. Take advantage. Join me online at BetUS Sportsbook and Casino. BetUS, where the game begins.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Rockets won a preseason game. The segment's for you, Lamont. The Rocket season begins very soon, though. Rocket regular season opener just around the corner. Season starts earlier and earlier these days because they need that long break. They need a long break at the All-Star game. Season starts a week from tonight, though.
That's crazy.
They're hosting Charlotte October 23rd. A week from tonight is when the regular season will kick off. That's good because it makes us, not that we forget about the Astros not being around in the postseason, but maybe it eases the pain a little bit. ease the pain a little bit? I don't know. But what is your starting lineup whenever you look at the Houston Rockets, your ideal starting lineup and an 8-man rotation for the Rockets this year?
Yeah, the difficult part for me is because they're so hyper-focused right now on just win now for this year. And the win now for this year is not my ideal starting lineup simply because I love Reed Sheppard. I love Amen Thompson. I love Cam Whitmore. And those are guys that I would love to see getting starters minutes, but I don't see it this year because of the fact that you're trying to take the next step up. So the starting lineup is pretty much status quo from a year ago. I think you start with Van Vliet at the point guard, Jalen's at the two, Dylan Brooks is your three, Jabari's your four, and Şengün is your five. Again, if I'm looking at just trying to get the most minutes and really get the most experience for guys, that might change. But with a playoff spot as their goal this year, I think that's your best starting five for right now.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Brooks, Jabari Alpi for me.
Yeah.
Now your rotation. So you said 8-man rotation here. I take offense to the 8-man rotation. I don't think there's any way in the world that Ime Udoka is playing an 8-man rotation.
Regular season, he'll go 9 or 10.
I think he goes 10.
Yeah, I think 9 for sure. 10, I think because of the fact that he's got guys on his roster, and he's also going to carve out minutes for guys that he has on his roster that you might not factor in with some of the young guys. I think for sure you're going to go Amen, Cam, and Reed Sheppard. But I think Steven Adams is going to be your backup big, and Steven Adams has proven that when he's on the floor, good things happen. He's tough. He's physical. He sets great picks. He rebounds on both ends of the floor. He's smart and intelligent defensively. And those are the kind of traits that I think that your head coach really wants to see in the rotation. So he's going to be in there. And then when you factor in guys like Jayshon Tate and Aaron Holiday, I think those are two guys that are going to see minutes. And I think that especially if Amen is going to be moved around a little bit more this year, then Holiday's going to become your primary backup point guard. So you're right. Maybe he goes 10. Maybe he goes 11. But for the regular season, it's not. You're right. I should have gone to a deeper rotation.
Power screen by Steven Adams. I disagree with you about the backup point guard. I have seen the rotations in the preseason where your backup point guard is Reed Sheppard.
He's awesome.
Reed Sheppard's the backup point guard. I don't think that Aaron Holiday is going to get consistent minutes. I think you look at four guys who, well, Jeff Green's tough because I think he wants to play Jeff Green. But Jeff Green, Jock Landale, Jayshon Tate, and Aaron Holiday are guys where if you have a DNP, they can fill in if needed. I don't think that those guys get consistent minutes. I think you go too deep at each position. Fred VanVleet, Reed Sheppard's playing backup point guard now. Mm-hmm. So I think Reed Sheppard is your backup point guard. It looks good doing it. I've been impressed by Reed Sheppard. His ability to create on the offensive end, like he can be the maestro of an offense. He can get to his own shot too, which I really like to see because he's a really good shooter. I don't want him to be just a catch and shoot kind of guy. So Fred VanVleet's your starter. I think Reed Sheppard's your backup point guard. I think your starting shooting guard, Jalen Green. I think Cam Whitmore, yes, he's a bigger two, but I think he's your backup two. Dylan Brooks is your three. I think Amin will back up there. Jabari Smith is your four. Tari Eason will back up there. And then Alpi's your five. Steven Adams will back up there. I think that Ime Udoka is going to have a two deep roster, to borrow a football term, when it comes to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, Tari's a guy that everybody forgets about because of the injury and coming back from the injury and everything. But, you know, that's why I said the first three off the bench, Amen, Cam, Reed. And a lot of these guys are interchangeable because I think Reed can play the two, too. I mean, he showed you with the range he has and the fact that he is a very, very good three-point shooter.
Even at his height, you think he can play the two?
I think he can play the two in stints. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be his primary position because I agree with Jeremy. He's going to be the backup to Fred VanVleet. But I think that he can see minutes at the two, depending on the lineup he's on the floor with, because the spacing will be such that he will get the shots and he can knock them down, that I think that all three of those guys are interchangeable. Cam's going to find some minutes at the four. He's going to play some at the three, and same with Amen. And so I think that those guys are so versatile that you can find minutes for them at a variety of different positions, and that helps because all these guys are hungry for as many minutes as they can get.
Yeah, we get. I think that we get locked into these positions where I think it's kind of positionless at times. I think Udoka is going to play matchups on the given night. The thing with Reed at the two, I think he is capable of doing it. I don't see a scenario where Ime Udoka is going to want Fred VanVleet and Reed Sheppard on the floor at the same time consistently.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. The height and defensively, the liabilities are there. But, you know, for a stint where you need some quick buckets or you're going to play very up-tempo for a short period of time, it can work. But, right, specifically, especially down the stretch, I don't think you can afford to do that because they will be exposed defensively.
And it depends on the opponent, too. Like, if you have if you're playing a team that you're not scared of their backcourt, then you're more likely to do it. If you have a team where you are scared of their backcourt, I think that you're less likely to do it. 3338, Bad Take Boulevard. Dylan should not be starting at all. Off the bench energy guy. Another text, we have way too much talent for Dylan to be starting. Who's starting at the three if Dylan Brooks is not starting at the three?
Yeah, right.
I guess they want to go youngsters with a man or Cam Whitmore.
Those would be the guys in line if the texter is thinking it should be someone else. But you also have to realize there's two sides of the basketball. And from a defensive perspective, you need guys that are going to get stops, do the dirty work, do the things that sometimes he does a little too dirty, but that Dylan Brooks brings to the table. And so that for those reasons alone, and because Udoka is hyper-focused on the defensive side of the ball, he's going to start at the three for you. And he also doesn't need the ball and have to score the ball like a lot of the other guys in his starting lineup.
Yeah, I like my... my defensive-minded basketball player is a little bit dirty. I have no problem with that, as you might expect.
That's not shocking.
I'm a dog.
Dylan Brooks shot 36% from three last year. Like a catch-and-shoot guy, 3-and-D. I have no problem with Dylan Brooks being your starting small forward. Cam Whitmore, to me, is not a starter yet. Maybe he can develop into that. I don't love his decision-making on the floor. That, to me, is the big reason why I don't want him starting. Brian, you mentioned Amin. I like Amin Thompson, the basketball player, a whole lot. Do I want Amin Thompson playing 35 minutes a game with Alpi Shingun on the floor going into the low post with Jalen Green on the floor, who's also not a great three-point shooter? I mean, Amin Thompson, if he's going to shoot under 20% from three,
problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want Amin Thompson playing more than 20 minutes a game until Amin Thompson. In fact, I would create a rule for Amin Thompson. Amin, you're going to play the exact same amount of minutes as your three-point shooting percentage. If you want to play, shoot 35% from three. If you're 35% from three, you can play 35 minutes. If you're 18% from three like you were last year, you're playing 18 minutes. That's my Amin Thompson rule. He plays the amount of minutes that his three-point shooting percentage is.
He shot 50% last night.
Gets 50 minutes.
He's one for two. He made the first, like, it was like one of the first baskets of the game.
That's good, though. Like, hey, I'm okay with him taking three. I don't want him to be a volume shooter and knock down the open three. Mm-hmm. I want him to develop into that guy. I want him to be able – look, all I want for him to be is a 30% three-point shooter. That's it.
I think the biggest thing that is a liability for him right now is just the fact that if he's going to play bigger positions on the floor, defensively, they're going to expose him from the standpoint of he can't put a body on someone and keep it there to where they will have like bigger physical guys try and go at him. Now, he has length and he has quickness, but I think that he will get exposed trying to play bigger positions on the floor early on.
Yeah, this goes back to the conversation we were having yesterday, though. Like, how many of those guys are there in the NBA? Like, what percentage of teams have those fours that are really going to be able to exploit him down low? Because you're right, against those opponents, well, he's just not going to play as much.
Right.
He's not going to be able to play the four whenever you're playing an opponent who has a four that's going to do work on him. Sorry, Amin. You're not going to be able to play. If you're not able to shoot, I can't play in the backcourt. If you're not going to be able to defend the four against a four who can score on you, you're not going to be able to play that night. I'm sorry. This isn't the feelings business, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to play the Minnesotas, the Milwaukees, the Denvers, the ones that still kind of go old schoolish with the bigger, traditional, more power forward game. Yeah, he can't play that. He can't defend those guys. But if you want to play him on Chet Holmgren, I think he can stay with Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren doesn't want to go on the low block and bully you.
Yeah, he might actually be good against Chet because
yeah.
he's long, fast,
yeah.
And he wouldn't have a problem keeping up with speed.
I would say against some of those traditional like power forwards, with his length, there is something too. I think his ability to front some of these guys. Now, it's not going to work on everybody, and you'll have to see how it goes. If maybe it fails spectacularly and you abandon the idea. But I think with his length, he could get by a little bit defensively on these bigger power forwards fronting them.
Yeah. I don't think that. I think they would just get the ball on the wing to the offensive player and let them back into the low post, because the fronting can only – you got to have backside help and you've got to have a lot of movement on the defensive side. I think they would just get the offensive player in his matchup on the wing and let him go in.
I think one thing we're ignoring here, how many minutes is Amin Thompson going to play?
Probably about 20 a game.
And he's probably going to play against the other team's what? Starters or their bench?
Yeah, second team.
I'm not worried about the backups four. You know what I mean? I'm not worried. 95% of the NBA, I'm not worried about their backup four scoring on Amin Thompson.
Yeah, that's more of the bigger picture question. Like, what does he grow into be? And where do you see him in your ideal starting lineup?
Put on some weight. You're going to play the four for me.
Well, I don't think he's going to play the four, but we'll see.
better chance of playing the four than playing the point guard.
I do like the idea of combining him with Cam and Reed as this kind of dynamic, up-tempo, offensive second unit. That would be kind of an up. Like you obviously got some defensive guys and some veterans like Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup, but you bring in a kind of a youthful, up-tempo second unit to push the ball when the starters are out.
You quite honestly could get one of your legit build-around superstars or stars out of those three guys, at least one, maybe two, because I think as much as you know the other where Jalen was drafted or what Şengün did, Reed Shepard's got just a monstrous upside. I think Cam Whitmore, and Jeremy's right. He and I talked about this in a break the other day. Cam Whitmore's decision making and the things that he has to improve on are more things that happen between the ears than it is just with his physical abilities. And I think if Reed Shepard's on the floor with him and they put him in the right spot, he can make a three, but he finishes at the basket and takes contact, and he's a beast.
Cash or trash, Reed Shepard, not Amin Thompson, is the future of the point guard position for the Rockets.
I think that's a cash. But I think Amin could play 2-3.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I think
he's still got to shoot the ball better.
Yeah. I think he's a 2-4 in the NBA. And it's matchup specific. Like, it depends on who you're playing that night. Like, there are some fours in this league that I don't want him defending.
Now, they drafted him thinking he was going to be the eventual point guard to take over for Fred. And when you get a guy like Reed Shepard, everything can change. It's fluid. And they also realize he just, as much as they thought they could get his shot better, it hasn't gotten there yet.
Also, while I think he's a good passer, I think a lot of times he's reckless with the ball. And I need my point guard to not be reckless with the ball.
A lot of young players are.
Yeah.
So, again, that's a good thing in that he can improve that a lot easier than improving your shot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The shot's the thing that's terrifying me. 6927, Tari should be a starter. This team got much worse when Tari got hurt. But where are you starting him? Someone else saying that Tari should be the three. Dylan Brooks should be the backup. See, I like Tari more at the four than I do the three.
Tari's your kind of prototypical six man and another versatile guy, but his ideal position is that energy guy off the bench that defends and plays the wing and finishes around the basket, and he can play the four.
Yeah, I think he's a 3-4. Mm-hmm. But I like him more at the four than I do at the three.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that he's
a good enough 3-point shooter too that he can make the defense respect it.
I'm more worried about him defensively, the three, than I am offensively. Like lateral movement, speed. There's a lot of threes in the league. They're going to be quicker than him. That's why I like him more as the stretch four. 6927, Reed has to get starters minutes or close to it. He's already by far the best shooter. There's no doubt about that. He is easily the best shooter on the team. Mm-hmm. Corey says, this is probably the most excited I've been for the Rockets in a long time. Bunch of young, exciting players. I would agree with that. And then Keith from LA, I was working over outside of the Rockets' new training facility. Got a chance to peep inside, and it's A1. They call that trespassing in some places, Keith from LA. And Keith from LA, stop showing off to these Twitchers that you have a job while they don't. We don't need to hear about your job and all the success that you're having, Key from L.A. You're going to make the Twitchers jealous. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Blessing or stressing with Garrett when we come back. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a quick word from my good friends at Allstate Siding and Windows. You can go to allstatesidingandwindows.com right now to see all the different products that they offer that might be beneficial to you. They do siding, they do windows, they do front doors, and they do so much more. But the main thing is they've been doing it in Houston for almost 50 years. They take care of Houston. They love the people at ESPN 97.5, and they want to take care of you and everything and anything you got going on with your house. They put new windows in my house. They are phenomenal. The curb appeal is exceptional. It upgraded the overall appearance of my house the minute the job was done. But the main thing is they are going to conserve energy. They are going to protect your house and the contents and the people inside of it. And they are going to do everything along the way to make sure that you feel like you went with the right company that does things the right way. Mary and her family have owned and operated this company for almost 50 years. She takes care of everything at headquarters. Her brother's one of the guys that goes out and gives you that free estimate when you call. And they are going to come out and they are going to help you. And they are going to tell you the best product that's going to fit your house, what you should consider from the siding to the windows, and the best process in going about how to make everything match and work for you. They constantly have deals going on. 30% off of windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job. And the main thing is they always have you in mind. So you need to get in contact with them right now so that they can start helping you solve the process of how do you make your house better protected against the elements. From hurricane season to the heat to the cold, they got you covered. All you got to do is start the process by calling them for a free estimate. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. And check out everything they have to offer at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
ESPN
97.5.
Veritex Community Bank believes your success is our business. If your business is at a tipping point, choose the bank who provides a team of experts whose intentions are to serve your growth. Join Team Veritex today. Visit VeritexBank.com. Member FDIC.
Sports fans, gear up for your next game day hang with your friends. What's on the menu? Sliders, wings, chips and salsa. All your favorite game day foods go well with Stella Rosa wines, a semi-sweet and semi-sparkling wine that must be served chilled. Stella Rosa can be found at your local retailer, so remember to grab a couple bottles next time you shop. Nothing sweeter than a cold glass of Stella Rosa and watching your team compete. Please celebrate responsibly.
The Birch Casino Resort Lake Charles is your game day headquarters this season. The biggest screens, and now you can bet and dine in person at ESPN Bet. Penn Play Rewards members can win up to $500 Penn Cash every week. Visit PennPlaySports.com/cover5 today and register for your chance to play and win. Not a member? Get the Penn Play app today. The Birch Casino Resort Lake Charles, your live sports headquarters.
Must be in the state of Louisiana to wager. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Judas Priest. Invincible Shield Tour, North America 2024. The Priest. October 22nd, Smart Financial Center at Sugarland. With special guest, Sabaton. Get tickets now at smartfinancialcenter.net. Judas Priest, live.
If you've got a last-minute change of plans on game day, say goodbye to the hassle of reselling your tickets. Visit Quick Assist. That's quickasyst.com. Download the app. They're going to take care of everything for you, from listing your ticket on every marketplace to dynamically pricing it based on market demand. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere.
Your home for Mopey and Mapes. Wait, Granado, stop messing with my copy.
Listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Time for Blessing or Stressing with Garrett. Favorite time. Best part of Wednesday, that's for sure. You can find him at HoustonStressins.com on IG, Houston Stressins, Texans Commenter on TikTok and Twitter. We're blessing that you're here, Garrett. What are we blessing or stressing about?
Well, appreciate you guys having me on again, of course. Definitely blessing with the Texans right now, 5-1. But first topic I will bring up is the linebacker injuries.
Oh, that's a good one.
Henry To'o, I believe, is in concussion protocol. Christian Harris obviously has the mystery calf injury, which we're no longer getting answers about. And then obviously Azeez Al-Shaair may not be available as well, I believe, with the knee. So, you know, finally, for once in this segment, I got to say that I am stressing on this, but not too bad. You know, we definitely have some guys that can fill in. Neville Hewitt was a guy that stepped in for Azeez last game and played really well. And I think somebody else, too, that we've kind of forgotten about is Jake Hansen. Mm-hmm. I know we want these big names to have at linebacker, but he was somebody that we were high on before the season as a potential Harris replacement. And I could say more, but I'll leave some food for you guys there.
I'm definitely stressing on this, and especially this week, because of the fact that, as we mentioned, the fact that you're going up against a really good running back in Josh Jacobs, you're going against a team that loves to play the middle of the field, and the fact that we know that as the quarterback of the defense and basically D'Amico's handpicked guy, Al-Shaair has been, in my opinion, the best and most unsung signing of the offseason and the most valuable piece to this puzzle so far this year. If he's out, that is devastating to this defense. And so as much as we hope that Christian Harris isn't seeing the Astros doctors and we want the mystery to be solved, it is still a mystery as to when he's going to be back. And then if you lose a To'o To'o, who's been better than we thought, and you play a team that's better than the Patriots, it really has me worried about the next stretch of games and how long they're going to have to deal with this and what they're going to have to do to get creative, like you said, with the different guys they're going to have to use.
Oh, it's an easy stressing. Easy stressing. The depth, and I know that Hewitt played well in his, you know, limited duty that he had this past week.
But if you're out both of them, and obviously you're going to be out Henry To'oTo'o, I think it's a pretty easy guess to make. He's in the concussion protocol. Aziz, I'm not so sure about. Like, Aziz came back in the game, and then it was a blowout, and then they took him out. So I'm still holding out hope that Aziz could play. And I'm not as worried if Aziz and Hewitt are your two linebackers, and, you know, Texans play almost 100% nickel anyways. So I think you can get by with that. But I'm stressing Hewitt having to play a ton of snaps. I'm stressing the availability of Aziz, because what do you do if Aziz doesn't play? Like, you go in Hewitt Hansen, you go in Dime, like that to me is something that is a big time stress. And then when you factor in the Christian Harris part of it, I heard Casario on this morning with PP on the Highway to Hell, and look, that injury is bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not letting us know what's happening, which is fine. Like, I don't expect professional organizations to tell us what's happening. In fact, if I was working in a professional organization, I wouldn't say a darn word. I would keep everybody guessing. But he came back during training camp, like, ran around for a little bit, did a couple jumping jacks, and he's done again for over 2 months now. Because when he got hurt was still a couple of weeks before the start of the year.
From the initial one to now, it's almost been 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and Casario did mention that there were some ramp-ups that went wrong, and they had to shut him down like he's Lance McCullers or Luis Garcia. So that injury is scary to me. I think that there is a better than 0% chance we don't see Christian Harris this year.
We're in the Tucker zone now.
Yeah.
Three months.
I think the optimistic argument for holding on for a thread of hope is maybe the evolution of Henry To'oTo'o stepping up so well. Maybe that allowed them to be more careful. But I don't know if that's the case.
Well, I mean, he'd at least be practicing. Like, you would open up the 21-day window. Right. Yeah. Like, you don't have to bring him back immediately. You can wait all 21 days.
Yeah, it's definitely been a mystery. And then,
especially this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if that was the case, I could hear
game,
you.
Big game, a lot of injuries. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I could hear you on that. Like, okay, To'oTo'o, he's been really good. We can buy another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks with Christian Harris. I think that they kind of did that with Mixon a bit. Like, oh, our offense is fine. We don't have to hurry Mixon back. Oh, Nico's placed in the IR. All right, Joe, it's time. And then Mixon even mentioned after the game, he's like, yeah, you guys do know that I've been out there. I've been working. Yeah. You guys do know that.
Yeah.
So I could see that theory. But to me, that theory gets thrown out the window this week whenever Aziz isn't practicing.
That's fair.
The sense of urgency. You can Dusty Baker him when you know that To'oTo'o's playing well, but you can't do that when you know you could potentially lose both your key linebackers.
Theories in play prior to this week. Yeah. But now,
I agree.
It's out the window.
Well, you brought up one more good point on that is Big Dime. I was going to mention Jalen Petrie is somebody who could definitely step in this situation. Mm. And this is something I saw early on in training camp, too, and early in the year. But obviously, Jimmy Ward is hurt, too, but Big Dime, we basically went four safeties on the field, and two of those safeties basically acted as linebackers. So, you know, D'Amico will get creative, but it's definitely a stressful situation. So I think we're all stressing on that.
But Ward's hurt.
that's what I'm saying.
So you're depleted one way or the other. Like, do you want to go a depleted nickel? Do you want to go a depleted dime?
It's not good.
It's not good.
And to Joel's point, too, we're playing Josh Jacobs, who's having a much better year this year. And the biggest difference is his ability to break tackles. He's breaking tackles like crazy, and now you have basically no linebackers. That's kind
of if you're running more of a power game that he runs and you're trying to stop him with safeties, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the next one I got, blessing or stressing Jordan Love versus CJ Stroud not being on primetime. Mm-hmm. I am big stressing on this. I was, when I saw the schedules come out, I thought for sure this was a primetime game, especially over a game like the Bears. I think it's an absolute travesty. You know, obviously for the world to get to see these two quarterbacks, and then you as a Texans fan getting the whole day to kind of ramp up for that primetime game. So what do you guys think about that?
It's a travesty that it's not, but I'm not stressing it. I'm blessing it because the fact that we still get to see the matchup is all that I need to see, because it is funny. The only reason why the Sunday night game is more attractive now to some people is because of the Devontae Adams trade, because now the Jets for another week are going to matter against the Steelers team that really doesn't matter no matter what their record shows. And it's interesting because I obviously have connections to both these fan bases and both these organizations. The way that the mirror images, it's crazy that the Packer fans are saying the same thing the Texans fans are saying. This game should be Sunday Night Football. This game should have been flexed. I don't think they can flex this early in the season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that's the case.
So.
But there were so many options for the Texans to be on national TV. This was one that we kind of penciled in could be, just like the Diggs Bowl with the Buffalo game, but you can only be on national TV so many times.
Yeah, I'm I'm blessing this one. I don't really – I'm not as worried about national TV games as some. Selfishly, I like when the Texans play the standalone games. That way I can spend all of my noon Sunday watching the Red Zone channel. But that's really Agreed. The only reason that I have for that. Like, I don't get blown out of proportion with the whole, well, the Texans have three national TV games, standalone games. It's cool whenever they have that spotlight, but I'm not one to really worry about it too much. I'm blessing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just would have thought, like, you know, they have two budding stars from the NFL perspective. You'd want to promote them, but maybe, you know, next time we play, maybe it's Super Bowl. We'll
see. Maybe if it was two white quarterbacks.
You never know.
Just saying.
Yes, anyways, you are. Yes, you are.
I'm a minority. Mexico. I am. Yeah, I'm a minority. I can stand up for this kind of stuff.
All right. My next one is going to be, are we blessing or stressing the trading of Cam Akers? This is kind of a tough one to pick a side on for me. I would kind of be neutral, but I'll lean blessing solely from the fact that Nick Caserio created draft capital out of thin air. You know, we signed Cam Akers off the street before training camp, coming off two Achilles tears. No one ever thought he'd be doing anything. Looked like amazing in the preseason. We had, you know, a litany of injuries at the running back room. He played some decent ball for us early on. So I'm blessing the fact that we got a good return out of it.
Yeah, I'm not even blessing the return. I'm blessing the fact that this means that they really what they've seen in Dameon Pierce is what they believe is going to happen, with Dameon Pierce being the backup, and that they have enough depth in the room. Because otherwise, I don't see any reason why they would have gotten rid of Cam. Because the sixth rounder to me doesn't make enough move my needle enough to say that it's more valuable to keep him. I know Nick had mentioned that it also freed up a roster spot. It gives them some flexibility to do some other things. But as much as we were worried about, especially when Mixon was out, what are they going to do? They were able to tread water pretty well, and Cam played a part in that. So I hated to see him go. It's a better opportunity for him. I know it seems to me that it says that they really believe Pierce is capable, and he showed, you know, signs of that, but I would have kept the room the way it was.
Yeah, I'm big blessing this. Like, you get a conditional sixth, conditional seventh, like, not a big deal, but you got it for nothing. Like, Cam Akers was just a thought before you signed him. You signed him for very, very cheap. You didn't spend a whole lot of money there. He helped you in the weeks where Mixon and Pierce were down, and then you got an actual draft pick for him for a free agent that you signed for very little money. So big blessing on that. But then what it means to the other running backs in the room, I think, is the most significant thing. The Texans are willing to trade their fourth running back because they feel that Joe Mixon's 100%. They like what they've seen from Dameon Pierce. So that's the bigger part of the blessing than the actual draft pick. But yeah, I'm happy that Caserio got a draft pick for virtually nothing.
And I guess it could be a little bit of a risk, but, you know, if it were to come down to two more injuries again in the running back room and we're leaning on Cam Akers to begin with, it's probably not a good situation anyway. So
yeah.
I don't think it's, you know, it should be overblown too much in that regard.
But don't you also think that Cam is like the third running back, maybe slash second running back in the running game? But obviously, Dare brings so much to the table in the passing game that they were just, you know, from the depth chart perspective, I think it was kind of flexible.
Like, if you look at the last game that they were your top two running backs, I mean, Dare was the featured back. Not by a ton, but he was playing a majority
of the
snaps.
Yards per carry were terrible. And Akers were surprisingly good.
He was about four.
But who played more snaps? Well, Dare played a considerable
amount.
So I kind
of had a passing game.
Yeah, so I kind of had a conversation.
But he also started.
Yeah, okay. but the third down back question is a good one, because, you know, we saw what Akers did in the preseason receiving. He was excellent. And you say, well, why wasn't he the guy, you know, this year when there were the injuries? Well, Dare was great, but I think one reason why is maybe Dare's potentially a better pass blocker too. Maybe
that's
a wrinkle in that.
Yeah, he's definitely a better blocker.
But I got time for one more.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, are we blessing or stressing losing Mario Edwards but gaining Danico Autry and Kirk Heinisch at the same time? This one is from Mr. Optimistic, HOU on X.
Mm.
It sucks to lose Mario, who's been a revelation, but I'm blessing the fact that we are getting, to quote Nick Caserio, a junkyard dog in Danico Autry. I cannot wait to watch this guy play. People have forgotten about him. He had double-digit sacks last year, I believe, and just the things I've heard about him all preseason, all offseason, I think he's going to be an absolute force, and I can't wait to see how we utilize him, whether it's interior, X on the edge, both. I mean, I just can't wait to see what happens with
them. I'm with you 100%. I'm blessing this, and not to take anything away from Mario Edwards, because he gave me way more than I thought I was going to see from him, and he's been very productive. But the fact is, you can throw Hynish out of the equation, except for that he's another body that can fill in the defensive line. But I cannot wait to see Autry, because of the fact that I thought that was another very, very savvy signing by this team. And when you talk to and look at, you know, the guys that saw him play when he was with Tennessee, he's all over the field. He's gutty, gritty, and he gets to the quarterback. And I think that this is a perfect opportunity for him to say, no matter what games I missed, you need me now, and I can come in and make an impact right away. And I'm excited as well.
Oh, yeah, big blessing. The timing of the suspensions have kind of worked out. Like, if you're going to have Danico Autry miss six games, which six-game pocket would you like him to miss? Probably the first 4-6 when you're at your healthiest, you have other guys that you can plug and play. And then if you knew that Mario Edwards was going to have a 4-week suspension, when would you want Mario Edwards to have the 4-week suspension? Probably around the time that Autry's coming back from his 6-game suspension, and the Hynish factor of coming off of the IR too. So if you knew that you were going to have 10 games between those two guys, I think that you would have stacked them exactly like this. So it's unlucky they got suspended, but it's lucky in that they don't even overlap. Like, one is used up and then the other one starts, and they can kind of just fill in for each other.
Plus, from a schedule standpoint, you can factor that in as well. It's a little softer to start the season.
True.
Now you're starting to get tougher games.
And the fact that, like, okay, well, they're going to be fresh. Like, Mario Edwards 4 weeks off in the middle of the year, assuming Autry doesn't get hurt, hopefully he doesn't. Now you're adding a fresh Edwards back into an Autry who had the first 6 weeks off of the season. So from like a freshness form point of view, I think it actually helps too. So a big blessing. Big blessing on
And that's what D'Amico said earlier this week. He said that Autry is ready to roll. I mean, it's different from coming off an injury. This guy has been healthy and ready, like chomping at the bit. So I would imagine he's full steam ahead when he comes into the game on Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
I'm interested to see his usage, though. Like, is he playing early downs? Is he your defensive tackle on first down? I kind of doubt it. And then I want to see the rotation to defensive end in, you know, early down situations. Obviously, I think he'll be the third and long defensive tackle, one of them. But I'm very intrigued to see the usage of Autry on Sunday.
Not only from that standpoint, but the usage from the standpoint of there's nothing that can take the place of game shape. And so he's got to get, if he plays too many plays too early, you run the risk of pulling something, doing something. So
I would guess about 50% of the snaps, because they rotate their defensive linemen anyways. I mean, you look at Anderson and even Danielle Hunter's snap percentage, it's like in the 60s, 70s. So he likes to rotate his defensive
linemen. Well, it's going to help the edges, Hunter and Anderson, which Hunter is number 2 in the league in pressures, and Will Anderson is number 7. And now when you spell them and give them that much more rest, and the tackles have to now face a guy who's just as good as those guys. I mean, it's going to be insane.
Yeah. Don't start saying pass rush win rate and all of that stuff. All right, what are you working on this week, Garrett?
Same old stuff. I got some new developments on my website, HoustonStressins.com. I released a T-shirt today. It's a Step Brothers theme with speaking of Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. I got a couple more T-shirts coming out, so just be tuned in on that, and I'll be on a couple live streams tonight, so just check me out on social media.
Sounds good. Text and commenter on TikTok and Twitter, Houston Stressins on IG, and then HoustonStressins.com, the one-stop shop there on the website. Blessing or Stressin' with Garrett. When we come back, let's rank. D'Amico Ryan said that Jordan Love's going to be the best quarterback that they've played to date. Love D'Amico. Don't think he's right here, but let's rank the quarterbacks the Texans have played so far this year. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for VanderfordAir.com. You can go to the website and see all the services they offer, but I encourage you to lock their phone number in your phone right now and use it whenever you need anything to do with your air conditioning, your heating, plumbing, repiping, even putting a humidifier within your air conditioning system. But 281-557-COOL, it's easy to remember for a reason, because when you need it fast, and you need a company that's going to have your back, be reliable, put everything in writing in a written estimate, and then back it up with 100% satisfaction guarantee, and that is what they do at Vanderford Air. 281-557-COOL, when you call them within 24 hours, they're there to see you. That's a guarantee, and all the guarantees keep on going from there. They're going to put everything that you need done into a written estimate, whether it be to replace a part and what it would cost to replace the system, and then the work that their workers are going to do, the temperature that your unit will achieve, the functionality of the part and or the new unit that they put in is going to be at the level that satisfies you or your money back. Everything's 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's why I speak for them, because when you're dealing any business with a service company, you need all the backups you can get. This is written estimates, this is guaranteed, and this is 100% money back if you're not satisfied. That's why I always tell you about Vandiford Air. Lock the number in your phone right now, 281-557-COOL. Check out all their services at VandifordAir.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know ball. So where are you going to take advantage of that knowledge about your information that you have regarding football? I know where you can take advantage of it. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. How about this? When you sign up at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, they are going to double whatever deposit that you make, okay, up to a certain amount. So you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid. You're looking for a great place to get the edge on whatever game that you like. You know ball. So go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. They'll give you a free pick on Thursday. If you lose, no big deal. You don't have to pay them. But if you win, you get that money. Plus, there's MyBookie Plus. If you bet more, you get into tiers. And they've got all kinds of great giveaways for you as well. The more you play, the more you can take advantage of that. You want to play, win, and get paid. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere on the best site to do it, mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
See website for details. Millsap is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to BillsHappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
The Killer Bees. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You want to tell us something about the music you're playing today? Should we know?
No. No.
Cry just, for help?
No, just adding more stuff to it.
Playing some emo stuff.
Emo?
A little earlier.
Rage Against the Machine is emo?
This isn't Rage Against the Machine.
Yes, it is.
No, I'm not talking about this song.
Oh, what song are you referring to?
Was it Pardon Me?
Oh, but Incubus, I wouldn't consider that part emo.
Emo, borderline emo.
No, it's not emo. No.
Well, is
you're
is
more incorrect about this than your part emo take yesterday.
No, you have no respect for the parallel perspective.
Were you able to pull all the parking? Were you able to pull all your parking spot?
I couldn't have if there was a car in front of me parked in the spot.
That's on the parking
structure. I had to invade two other spots.
Hold on. We have an impartial judge who saw this after the show. Joel, your report.
Brian was not in the wrong.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Absolutely, you're wrong, too.
I think your driving must suck because of the fact that you thought you needed a three-point turn to get out of that spot.
If there was cars in the other spots, I absolutely would have.
I don't think so.
Whenever I pulled out of my spot, I had to go into two other spots to get out. But fortunately, because we get off late, there wasn't anybody parked there. But if they were parked there, I would have to go up to the car, stop because I don't want to hit it, reverse, and then go.
There was nowhere else for me to go that would let you avoid that then.
Also, the parallel principle. The parallel, you've never heard of the parallel principle? Whenever you park in a spot, that it's kind of like the goal line in football, that you draw a line on the goal line, and then you have to have the invisible line that goes across, you know, everything, right? It's the same thing whenever you park in a spot. You have the parallel principle. So you draw a line on the vehicle, and then you extend it out like it would go on forever, and then you also have the parking line that would go on forever.
Right.
The way that Brian was parked, his parallel principle would have intersected with the parking line's parallel principle.
That's false.
Thus, no, absolutely not.
That's false. We looked at the aerial view. We looked at multiple multiple angles.
It's not false.
Joel looked it right down the line.
The fender well was not over or even close to the line.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. If you drew a line from the back of his tailgate and then it went on forever, would it cross this line if you went on forever? Absolutely, because it's parked at an angle.
The slightest, yes. slightest.
But that's inarguable.
But
that's
we
inarguable.
Were talking about last
drew,
night.
It's not what I just said. If you drew an invisible line from the side of his truck and it went on forever on the same line, and you did the same thing with the parking spot line, would they intersect?
Maybe
there's
somewhere.
There's no maybe. This is a fact. It's not an opinion.
Maybe
they would
somewhere
intersect.
In Katy.
But it would have to intersect at a point that would actually create a problem for you. And that's
It would create a problem. Like I went into the other spots to get out, but
there's nowhere for me to go that wouldn't have caused you
the problem. For you,
problem.
Brian, is this was an Amazon Prime game, so the cameras weren't as extensive to give you that down the line clean view
we
that
need
you
to
needed.
Put a chip in
which,
things.
What you really need to do, Brian, is you have to be parallel with the line. Parallel with the line, and you escape all problems.
I like to imagine Jeremy getting out of his car or truck each day with a level and a tape measure.
Have you ever seen me crooked? And the other part
I
is
don't
you
don't look.
The other part is you have a truck and you don't back into your spot. Just saying.
How?
Just saying.
People do that.
People
just
back
saying.
Into a spot.
What is
idiots.
The big deal?
Just
back,
saying.
Why do you have to back in
no,
trucks?
Pack, just bar, saying. Backing into spots is a diva move. No, I'm
yeah,
going to pull into
I've
the
never
spot.
Understood that.
You're saying that in Texas.
I'm saying
in the
that,
Lone Star State.
Yes, I 100%
say that. 713-780-ESPN.
Come
if you have
at me.
A truck,
at BMAC.
If you have a truck, should you park it in the normal Ford way or should you back in a truck?
No.
713-780-ESPN. Because one of us, we both have trucks. Brian and I both have trucks. One of us backs it in, and one of us does not. And the one of us that backs in it has never had problem parking parallel-wise.
All right, let me ask
ever.
You, Jeremy, as you as a representative of the divas who back in, let me ask
your
you
divas
a question.
Is your opinion, not anybody else's.
I know. I'm putting that opinion out there. So when you back into a spot, so you go into a spot, you come out of the spot. I'm pulling into a spot, then backing
crooked,
out. You're
crooked.
Backing
don't forget
out,
that part.
Then
crooked.
Backing out, and then pulling out. Both ways, you're backing out at one point and pulling in the other.
No
it
doubt.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it matters because you can get out easier, and you're more focused on getting out quicker than you are getting in quicker.
If you can't back out of the spot, then you shouldn't be parking in the spot or driving that vehicle.
But you just made it very clear that you're going to have to back in at one point regardless, so you can't now taint the backing in element of it because you admitted, your words, that you have to back in both ways regardless.
Can you back out of the spot easily? Is it that difficult
no, it's
for
not,
you?
No, it's not difficult, but
then,
it is a little
then
slower.
Then you're blocking people
it is a little
trying,
slower.
Like in our parking lot or in our parking garage, there's not enough room if you're backing into a spot for other people that then get by you to go park. So now you're holding up everyone else that's trying to, same thing in a crowded like HEB or Kroger parking lot. You're
it's not the same thing as an HEB parking lot because we don't have nearly as much traffic as an HEB parking lot. Secondly, you're aware of that because you check your mirror and then you take the scenic route in order to back in. To your spot.
Well, I wish you
are right about
that, but most people don't.
You are right about that. If you are going to back into a spot, you should not hold up other people. I do agree with that. 713-780-ESPN. If you have a truck in Texas, should you be backing into your spot? 2585 Incubus is definitely borderline emo, says the texter, by the way. Incubus and Rage Against the Machine are both grunge, you nerd, says Tyler in Conroe. I think he's telling us something. Incubus is totally emo adjacent, says 3338. If you would have just backed into your parking spot, you would never have to do a three-point. Well, you have to do a three-point to back into the spot.
True.
Yeah, so you do have to do a three-point. Ask Dr. Dre. He's the station's driving expert. Like Lamont is the station's program director. Tyler and Conroe is someone who had a minor in mathematics. I'm sure the difference in angle between the two is arbitrary. Anything less than 10 degrees is negligible. I would say it was probably closer to 15-20 degrees.
I posted a photo right down probably the line 15, at SAC 20. By BMAC, so you can view it and judge for yourself.
Ranger parking is a diva move. Is that the type of truck?
I
don't know what ranger parking is.
I think
is that,
I
is that what
either.
They refer to backing into a spot?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that term. 8755, back in your truck, 6630. Branham is 100% correct here. It's like an unwritten rule that everyone should know. Driving forwards out of a parking spot is safer than reversing out, regardless of the vehicle. There you go. It's safer to back in because you see both directions when pulling out without blocking cars' view. All this talk of parking cars is weird. He said, in other words, is it safer backing into a parking spot than out of a parking spot because you have better field division? I think he meant vision. When you're parking backwards ESPN needs to hire brothers. Too much truck talk, I guess. It takes you just as long to back in as it does to back out. The point is, though, whenever you arrive, you're not really as worried about time because we're not arriving 10 seconds before the start of the show. But whenever you're leaving, you're trying to get home to the family more. Just whenever you back in your car, it means that you love your family more because you're trying to spend more time with them.
I have an SUV. I've never backed it into a parking spot.
Well, the SUV's your problem. People never arrive to where they're going pressed for time. They're only pressed for time leaving.
No, you get home sooner. You get home sooner, so you care about your family more.
Oh, the extra 3 seconds. Congratulations.
713-780-ESPN. Troy's on the line, spelled Tory, but we know it's Troy. Lance is on the line. We're going to get to them on the other side. The great debate. You back in your truck, or do you not? 713-780-3776. We'll also get into the quarterbacks, top quarterbacks the Texans have played to date. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Hey, sports bettors, Brian, I'm here to tell you about my favorite sportsbook and casino. That's BetUS.com. Football is back. It's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer, 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need, competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, and prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today, BetUS.com, or give them a call, 1-800-MY-BETUS, BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.